since we're talking about years past and when the recession ended in 2009, let me take you even a year further back to 2008.
Compared to last October, Ford's sales are down 30%, Chrysler's are down 34%, and GM's 45%. Which is why the big three say they need $25 billion in loan guarantees, and they need it fast.
And yet, here was President Obama speaking at a Michigan town hall meeting this year.
We are now seeing the top three U.S. automakers making a profit for the first time in a long time. They are hiring for the first time in a long time.
That's the president yesterday at his town hall meeting. What happened in between that first cut of tape and that second comment from the president is a lot of stuff. And that's really the subject of the book that we are reading right now. It's called Overhaul, an insider's account of the Obama administration's emergency rescue of the auto industry. And it's written by Stephen Ratner, who I understand I probably shouldn't call you Karzar, right? You don't like Karzar.
I don't love it, but it makes it easier in situations like this.
Shortens the title. All right. So what your book really deals with that space in between, the point when the auto industry executives first came to Washington and said, we're going to go bankrupt and this is going to cause rioting in the streets in the Midwest, and the point where they are now, where they're nearly profitable, right?
It's an example of a successful government intervention. People often say government is useless, government can't do anything. This was a case where government was able to step in, turn things around, and as the president said, have three good auto companies come out the other side.
All right. So first of all, the book deals a lot with two things you identify as relatively dysfunctional. There's Capitol Hill, there's the lawmakers, which you describe as not necessarily being the best functioning group around. I mean, that's fair, right?
That's fair.
And they're actually trying to turn around a business which you also say was dysfunctional at the time.
Yes, Congress was a problem. Happily, we actually didn't have to deal with Congress that much because we had the availability of TARP, and we were able to put $82 billion into the companies. But the companies themselves had a series of issues. General Motors was effectively dysfunctional. It had huge cultural problems. It had huge bureaucracy problems. It had effectively driven off a cliff and was in a free fall when we shut up.
Your book is called Overhaul, a term that's normally used to describe what you do to a car, not necessarily to the car industry itself. Steve Ratner, did you have to be convinced that a government intervention like this could actually work, describing the sort of difficult issues that you saw going in?
Yes. When I was first approached about the job, I wasn't sure it was doable. And I said to Larry Summers, who was nice enough to ask me to do it, I don't mind difficult challenges, but I like to know it's achievable. And he ultimately convinced me that something had to be done, that there was no choice, that the alternative to government stepping in was for these companies to shut down, liquidate, and have the economic equivalent of an atom bomb explode in the Midwest.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what happened that went right. We've had analysts coming on the show saying, look, what happened almost needed to happen. The auto industry needed this crisis in order to be able to shed some of their dead weight and use it to kind of return to an efficient model. Is that relatively accurate?
You know, Rahm Emanuel has a saying, never let a crisis go to waste. And this was a crisis of such enormous proportion that we were able to get sacrifices from all the participants here that would have not been possible before. The UAW agreed to concessions. We put the companies through bankruptcy. We took GM's liabilities from $120 billion to $55 billion. We took $8 billion a year out of their structural costs. We did overhaul, no pun intended, the companies and make them competitive. And as the president said, allow them to make a profit even at today's relatively low level of car sales.
Although Ford did that on their own.
Ford, that's a great point. Ford did it on its own. They did the self-help program. And I think when people say to me, does management of a company matter? These are huge, huge enterprises. Does it really matter who's at the top? I say, look at the difference between Ford and General Motors. Hmm. Ford got through this. General Motors didn't. They faced the same set of problems, the same UAW contract, the same competition from the Japanese. What was the difference? The difference was Bill Ford, and Bill Ford being smart enough to bring in Alan Mulally.
Let's talk a little bit about what you learned during this process, because as someone with experience in finance, in many ways, you're facing an industry that where there's a huge supply of cars as a commodity. If there's an oversupply, the price goes down. That was a problem. There's also a huge supply of very expensive workers among these corporations. Over the course of this overhaul And again, that's the title of your book. Over the course of this, did you learn anything about the difference between a commodity like cars or steel and the commodity called workers?
I learned a lot about this industry by the time it was over. First of all, cars are not really a commodity. Cars are bought by people based on their own preferences. And one of the problems Detroit had was people were preferring other people's cars to theirs. In terms of the workers were terrific. And one of my pleasant surprises was how efficient the manufacturing process at GM and Chrysler had gotten, how good the plants were run. The problem was they had a series of benefits, including the right to get paid even if they didn't work, which led to that oversupply of cars that simply was not sustainable in a profitable way.
And they had 1 million workers, but they were paying health care costs for 2 million retirees. That's completely overbalanced.
It's unfortunately a symptom of a maturing industry where you have more retirees than workers. But beyond the numbers, they were paying huge amounts for health care for what we famously call Cadillac plans, of course, Cadillac being the top-of-the-line GM car. GM is the largest purchaser of Viagra in the world. Because that fell under the union's health care contract.
I was trying to imagine where that feature fits on an Escalade, but now I understand what you're saying.
Well, the car companies are, I mean, are you surprised that they're beginning to pay back the loans at a faster rate than expected?
I'm not surprised by their level of profitability. We thought we were taking General Motors to a place where it could make money even if 10 or 11 million cars were sold in this country. Way down from the 16 or 17 that were sold at the peak, and right now we're selling between 11.5 and 12. So the model worked. GM is making profit, but they are ahead of plan.
Well, let me ask you this: if you were still the car czar, what would you advise the government to do? GM wants the government to sell all of its stock so they would no longer be government owned. Should the government do that, or should
Obama wants to hold it and make money?
No, actually, the president wants to sell it, and one of our projects was to come up with a plan for selling the stock in an orderly way. There's nothing to be gained by having government in the private sector any more than is absolutely necessary. This was an example of an intervention that went successfully. We weren't trying to create an empire. We were trying to simply achieve a result and then get out, and that's what the government is doing, and the government and GM are completely on the same page on that.
Sell now or wait?
All depends on the price. This is a viable company that I would love to own stock in at the right price, and we'll have to see how the IPO goes.
Steve Ratner is the author of Overhaul, an insider's account of the Obama administration's emergency rescue of the auto industry. He was the car czar until July 20, 2009. Thanks so much for joining us.
Nice. Thank you.